Man, yes. There's one for you, 19 for me. Don't you wish you could be the tax man for a little while, just to have be in that position of authority that the politicians are in, where they just get to make up any story they want, and they just get to keep taking. I've got some great Nancy Pelosi signed. You're going to love. Not time right now. In a couple minutes, we'll get to it. We've got to move through some business here, but it's just divine to hear a politician tell the truth about how politicians operate. It doesn't happen very often. Really, it's not part of their MO, to be honest. And the ones who get to the position where they really understand just how dirty their business is and in a position to articulate clearly for you what they're up to, they don't talk about it. It's too explosive and dangerous. So I don't know what Nancy Pelosi's doing talking like this. It's unbelievable that she's talking like this, but she is, and it's beautiful. And it's just one little, really, Democrats, if you vote for Democrats ever, which is an absolutely crazy thing to do, and I'm going to prove it to you Nancy Pelosi is going to prove it to you in a minute, but I would encourage Democrats to listen, because I'm not saying Democrats and Republicans are any different from each other, except for what they represent. You know, what you have you pressure your side into doing what you want, and that gives you a shot. But otherwise, in terms of the business and the mechanics and the ugliness, they're both in the same game. Nancy Pelosi will prove to you why you should never vote for a Democrat coming up on WTIC. But first, Mike Allen will prove to you that you should never get in the car. Well, maybe. I don't know. What's going on, Mike? How's it looking?
Maybe not get in a car with me driving, but, you know, hey.
Well, that
you get
sounds
in a car.
Good.
Yeah, what the heck.
Just to make the point that politics is sleazy, they are lying scum, those national politicians, doing their thing. It's a very manipulative, dishonest business. Here's Nancy Pelosi explaining one of the techniques that's used. This is so delightful. Enjoy this.
You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics.
It's called the wrap-up smear. I think that's what she said. The wrap-up smear. And this is something that you'll recognize right away. It's done all the time. For example, think about the Kavanaugh hearings. Think about any time the left does this in particular. They throw out a phony story, and they pump it up and get the press to cover it. And then they wait for the press to do this big coverage, and then they run out and do the wrap-up smear. So the wrap-up smear is them running around after the fact, talking about what the media reported, as if it now has enhanced credibility because it's news. Therefore, it must be true. All right, so this is Pelosi explaining.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say...
Then you merchandise it, right? There's a whole packaging campaign. Everybody gets the memo on what they're supposed to say. If you pay attention, and if you're watching the media, you see when... I used to be a helicopter traffic reporter in Boston years and years ago when I was a kid. And I realized that like once a month, it'd be a Monday morning, I'd be flying around in the helicopter, and I'd be everybody flew the same route around the city. There were like five different choppers flying around Boston doing traffic, and I was in one of them. And you would listen to the other people doing their traffic reports because they'd be at another point in the wheel. So if you hadn't been someplace for 15 minutes, it was like, I don't know, maybe a 15 or 18 minute cycle. If you hadn't been somewhere in a while, you'd check everybody, see if anything changed before you did your next report. And that gave you this sense of cohesiveness. And it also let you hear the ads that were on every radio station. And I would notice that on a Monday, once a month, you'd suddenly have new ads. And, you know, Coke or Pepsi or the Hearts 2-in-1 call, I remember, because it would jump out at a certain time of year when suddenly the dogs needed their collars, you know. And that the politicians do the same thing. Suddenly they burst on the scene with their new Hearts 2-in-1 caller, with their new lie of the day, with the new fake story that they're pushing. And then, you know, they know how to work it through the media cycle, and they work it through the media cycle by letting the media have a role in this. And she says to them here in this press conference, she points to the media and says, and then you cover it.
And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic, and it's
a tactic. Well, it's not a particularly it's not a particularly clean tactic for the good government people. You know, the Democrats like to call themselves the good government party. This is what the good government party does. The smear, the wrap-up smear. And it also shows the dance that the media plays, in particular with the Democrats, because they're allied, you know, because they're so simpatico, the media and the Democrats, because two things: the media are leftists, and two, the media likes to get stories really revved up. And I think, I don't know if Republicans actually do this particular thing that often, this wrap-up smear. I'm not saying they're more moral. Republicans aren't more moral in my mind in general. Politics is a sleazy business. The people doing it are sleazy. You pick your side. For me, either you believe in the American system of government or you believe in the anti-American system party, and that's the Democrats. The Democrats are against the American system of government. I'm for it. Therefore, I tend to support Republicans. But when Republicans are sleazy, when Republicans are doing what's bad for the people, I'm in this wonderful position where I get to just tell the truth. And I don't feel like anybody else in the state, hardly anyone else in the state, has the privilege that I have to simply tell you what's going on. I have no skin in the game in terms of, you know, I'm not from here. I don't have friends whose backs I have to cover. I don't have people in power I need to protect. I just, if I see a smear coming, I'll tell you it's a smear. And hopefully that works well for you. Anyway, that's Nancy Pelosi confessing the, I'll play it again a little later. I love that. I love that. It's a two-step. You do the smear, you get the news media to report it, then you report on the reporting of the smear. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, the truth, isn't it? 860-522-9842. How about a little traffic and weather together on the 8th? We turn to Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center. Mike, 860-522-9842. So there's a great little piece of instruction from Nancy Pelosi on just how dirty politics is. But the other really great lesson we have right now is this Jeffrey Epstein story and the prison. And I hear everybody going wild with these conspiracy theories. Who had Epstein killed? And I don't object to conspiracy theories except for this. It's too easy to go for the least likely thing. Somehow we love the idea of imagining Bill and Hillary Clinton had Jeffrey Epstein killed, or Donald Trump, embarrassing stuff that could bring down his presidency. They had to make sure he doesn't testify. And those are entertaining theories, but they're generally not the most likely thing in my mind. I don't think the conspiracy theory. So, okay, Jack Kennedy. Does anybody believe that Jack Kennedy was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald? Well, some people do. Some people who aren't that cynical about government, who aren't that well informed to be sufficiently cynical to be able to imagine such things. But also people don't care that much. So they figure if the government does a big investigation and this is what the government comes up with, well, that conclusion must be motivated by a desire for truth. And maybe that's how government worked 50 years ago. Maybe there was a desire for truth. Maybe people were trying to do the right thing. But it really had impact on me when I started hearing over the last year or two that Bobby Kennedy didn't believe the Warren report, and that he didn't believe that it was that simple, that Oswald had killed his brother. And Bobby Kennedy, don't forget, was an enormously powerful man who had been in more intense. All right, so Jack had been a senator and a congressman. You don't know that much about government and how it works from being a congressman or a senator, because mostly what you're doing is campaigning and voting. You know, so you learn about policy ideas and what people want to do and how they want to do it, but you're not running things. You're not twisting the arms. You're not making the insidious things happen. It's different if you're a general. It's different if you're an executive, if you're a mayor or a governor. It's just different to be the guy in charge. And as you look at a prison, and you're thinking, who's the guy in charge? And that's what I've been doing with this Epstein story. And as I think about a conspiracy, how do you plug a conspiracy into something that's completely incompetent? A system technically run by elected officials, which has ceded much of its power over to a special interest group, which helps it win elections, unions. Well, we've learned. That's a pretty reliable organization in terms of not being trustworthy, or in terms of being trustworthy. They are reliably trustworthy in that they will always be unreliable, or generally be unreliable. So you have a prison system. What have we heard so far from this Epstein story? And this is the point I want to make to you. Look at the facts and assume the obvious. First thing that smelled funny to me, well, of course, the guy should have been on suicide watch. Why was he removed from suicide watch after only a week or whatever it was? We don't know. We have to find out. Cameras. Were there cameras? We're told through reporting. And by the way, all the reporting is people on the side telling reporters things without attribution. So we don't know who's telling the reporters this stuff, but the reporters are usually pretty good. But you don't get the best information right after an event. What happened to the guards? Why weren't the guards coming around? Why weren't the guards doing their once every 30-minute inspection? Two guards, they're supposed to toggle. One goes one time, the other goes the other time to make sure that this work is being done. Nothing can go wrong. There should be supervisors there. We don't know if there were supervisors there at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Whatever time they started not going to his cell, they said it had been several hours when they found him dead at 6:30. Stories, maybe they were asleep. Not that they know they were asleep, but stories are that they could have falsified their reports. This is what's unique about government. If you're running a museum and you have to make sure the painting is safe, what do? The guards walk around on a schedule. They've got to type their code into the alarm box at a certain point on their route at a certain time. If they don't do it inside their window of opportunity, an alarm goes off, somebody comes to check and see what's going on. That's what you do when you want things to work. In government, you're not looking for things to work in the same way as you are in real life. In government, you want them to work, that is, you don't upset the apple cart. You don't hurt your own position. You enhance your power. You enhance the power of those above you. So if the people above you want somebody to die, well, then you might just enhance your power by looking the other way. That is possible. But what's more likely to me is that you've got a badly run prison. that incompetence is the most likely occurrence in any bureaucratic machinery, especially if there's a union around. And I'm sure there are such things as well-run prisons that are crisp and follow rules and everything is done according to the book. But I also hear stories about the way things happen in the Connecticut prison system that I don't like. I hear stories about people being let out who are dangerous and shouldn't be let out. I hear tell of a early release program that's letting dangerous people out in the streets because it makes Democrats feel good. When politics is involved, bad stuff happens. And even so, there's a 60% recidivism rate. Think about that. Everybody who served their time or something close to it and they're getting out, they're more likely than not going to be back. That's how the prison system works. Incompetent, invisible, indefensibly doing the wrong thing. That's what we see. And so before you go off the deep end with conspiracy theories, just consider the most likely thing, which is they have no ability to deliver the product they're supposed to be delivering. They don't know how it's done. And politicians are worried about how to properly manage fake stories like Nancy Pelosi is talking about. And they don't want anybody who works for them. They don't want any bureaucrats, any department heads, or their union buddies interfering. And part of the deal is they also don't interfere with the unions getting what they want. And if unions want people to have a great career and get a raise and get an advancement because they're one of the good guys, they're one of the good guys who goes along and plays the game, well, those people get their rewards. That's the conspiracy to me. That's the ugliness being revealed. That's the most profound.